Conti, bella palla per Rebic, Rebic Ibra, Rebic, 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 il tiro, gol!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host Ollie Fisher, back after a little absence. Delighted to be back and joined by Anthony.
Yeah, I'm here. Won't be next week though. Neither will Ollie, I don't think. So,
I've got a wedding.
We're going to remove the heads from the logo because none of them have been on the show in quite a while. But, you know, we're doing it. So here we are. We got Steph as well.
Yeah, I'm the third one in the pack today, but yeah, it's good to be back. I think it's been 2 weeks I've missed out now, so we're all sort of, the comment section is going to be like furious with, there's no consistency, is there? So
not at all, none. Rotation policy, you know, it's served us well so far, but I suppose that's the theme of...
Yeah, it's a squad game, isn't it? So we got...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's like pre-season in many ways, isn't it? We'll have a full lineup and then three substitutions will come in. But no, it's good to get back on and stuff. I want to start, actually, because I said I'd do this. This is really random, but before we get into the game and stuff, I actually got given this in the last week, and I wanted to show it in case people find it cool. But this is a pennant that was actually bought from the 1963 European Cup final, which Milan won. So I got given that as a gift by someone who I go and watch Huddersfield with. So I said I would show it and say thank you. And yeah, it's class. I mean, it smells like it's from 1963. It smells like fags, basically. That's cigarettes, just to clarify. But yeah, really cool. So I'll find a way to display that when I move down to London and stuff, and I'll have a proper podcast set up. I also bought a poster with all the kits on as well, so looking forward to getting that set up. Right, so we've got a game to recap. I'm leaning on to here a little bit. We're leaning Stefano, should I say, because I was not able to watch the game against Nice. I've caught up on pretty much everything in terms of what happened. But it was, let's say, after two preseason games against Serie C sides where we weren't really tested. You know, we won 6-0 and 5-0. This was our first real test of the summer. Important bit of context, I think, is that this was Nice's last preseason game. They start Ligue 1 next week, which means that they're probably much further ahead than us in their preseason preparations, and this was their last warm-up, so they wanted to hit match rhythm. And by the sounds of it, they did. They were probably the better side, marginally. But it was a 1-1 draw in the end. The first goal was a penalty from Amin Djouri, I think you say it, who is a really good player, I must say. I do like him, and that was on the hour mark. It took us 6 minutes to equalise. Olivier Giroud scored on his debut with a thumping header in at the that went in at the far post. And that is a perfect start for him. I guess we better start with that. Number nine curse is finished because Giroud scored with his first touch.
I mean, we've seen that a few times with some of these players on there, so I wouldn't say it's finished just yet, but we'll see. As far as Ligue 1 starting, yeah, I think the Super Cup actually is on right now with PSG and Lille. I have no idea where they're at. I'm not tracking the game, but I think it is on. But yeah, for being called Nice, they sure weren't playing nice. They were mean. And I know that's low hanging fruit, but you got to take it. No, they were dirty players. They looked like a bunch of fucking pricks. I didn't enjoy watching them play. They were just dirty, unnecessary dirty for preseason. And they weren't very good. I know you said that the guy who scored the penalty is a good player, but to be honest, it was an awful penalty and an even worse attempt at save. But that's what happens when you sub on your third string goalkeeper at halftime. Like, he's not warmed up in preseason. Like, it is what it is. No one cares. Also, wasn't really a penalty. There was next to no contact at all from Krunic. So we won that game, but like, it doesn't matter. I don't know. Like, I want to be upset because it was just an awful game, but it's nothing. I don't care. I was happy to see Giroud get on there, score. That was important. Maldini looked good. But besides that, and Caldara, I was happy with Caldara's performance and Romagnoli. But besides that, the majority of them looks pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I only picked up the second half, to be honest. So I did miss a bit of what was apparently a bad first half. But yeah, look, they looked a bit more, not so much up for it, but a bit more fitter than us. But at the same time, I saw some good transitions in the final third, like a good interplay from the attacking midfielders. linking up with the centre mids, there was some confidence you could see with what was probably our rotational players like Tonali and Pobega. There are some good signs there, but there are signs for clearly improvement. Giroud's goal, great, because obviously that gets him firing. But to be honest, I think we expected that. We know what we're getting. Beyond the goal, we also saw a lot of hold-up play, how good he is in the air, which is key. I don't want to be the guy who has to say it all the time, but once again, we are seeing underwhelming performances from players like Rafael Leao. I know it's just a friendly match, but at the same time, yes, he started the first half at striker position. He eventually started drifting out to the left, and there were some sort of worrying signs that, you know, he just looked disinterested. The game was sort of below him. But I don't know. That's the sort of things here. But especially when the heat of the transfer market, it gets everyone kind of saying that, why are we selling Haig when we should be selling some of the players on the pitch? But anyway, I'm going ahead of what we're going to talk
no,
about.
No, rant away, mate. You're the only one who saw it. So
yeah, no, it was an interesting game. Not much you can really take away from it other than getting, you know, minutes under players' legs. Fair play to Nice. They came up and wanted a bit of a fight. Some of their tackles as well, you know, late challenges on players like Teo. You're thinking it's just a friendly. But at the same time, I'd want the same desire from my team in a preseason friendly, because it's going to allude into what's going into the regular season, which is only a couple of weeks away. So, you know, it wasn't a bad game. It wasn't a bad game. It's just obviously there are certain players that played in that game what we'd like to see be transferred out of the squad this summer. Cassiello, Andrea Conti, Mattia Caldara. So, like, you know, so we'll see from there. But, yeah, good game.
Yeah, I'm looking at the starting lineup here because there's so many substitutions to take note of and stuff. But think important thing to note is the first half, we definitely competed. And that's crucial because, as said, they were trying to play this game as if it were their first game of the season, you know, to be proper on it. They pressed high. Must say that they've just appointed Christophe Galtier as their head coach, and he won the league last season with Lille, and it's a bit of a weird one, but I think Lille are kind of getting slowly dismantled, and Nice have an interesting project, and they have got some good young players. So we did well, really, to battle as we did in that first half, especially when you consider probably in the back four, that would probably be the same, except Kier will come in for Romagnoli. But then we had Tonali Pobega as the double pivot. You know, come the first game of the season, neither of those two should be starting. Salamakers on the right, fair enough, but Krunic left wing, Brahim down the middle, so those two could potentially change. Another playmaker arrives, and then Gao up front, as we know, who will probably move to the left, his more natural position. Only in the next sort of week or so, we're going to start to see, you know, players come back and start getting meaningful minutes under the legs. We've had, obviously, Manyan who signed, but he got an extended vacation because of the Euros. Same with Giroud. You know, there's others as well. So we're cobbling together lineups at the moment. That's how it is. But we've got another interesting test on Wednesday night against Valencia. And then we have a week today. We record on Sunday. We've got Real Madrid. So those two will be, you know, interesting games to kind of see where we're at, I guess. But yeah, not too bad. I need, I suppose, to pick out some of the performances just to, you know, say how they got on. This is from what I've gathered. I haven't had chance to watch the full replay back, but you can often gauge on social media, even if they are irrational as a fan base, you can often gauge how players have done. I think praise needs to be given by the sounds of it to Romagnoli, who is tackling the preseason very well for someone who's obviously got a lot of uncertainty about his future. There's been a couple of recent reports saying that he's had an exemplary attitude in pre-season. He's, you know, giving it 100% to get his starting spot back. We know how it is. We've done this topic to death. We've got a 32, we'll turn 33, Simon Kier, who's currently the starter, but I think he's going to miss games again next season. So Romagnoli will get his time, and defensive depth is important, but it's good to see that he's fighting like hell for his starting spot. I heard Calabria and Teo struggled a little bit. Teo's decision-making was frustrating, apparently. There was a moment when he should have passed after he'd gone on one of his typical runs and didn't. And then Calabria got a bit of a rinsing down the right side. But again, context is important. He's just come back from a knee operation, and that was his first 45 minutes. So it's just a fitness exercise for him.
Yeah, I'd say Calabria actually for the situation with the surgery, I thought he did fine. You know, it wasn't the type of game we expect from him, but it also wasn't like there was nothing said like, wow, this is awful. You know, it wasn't like the typical Andrea Conte game. It was still solid. As far as Teo, he didn't have the best game, but I don't think it was the worst. There was a point where I tweeted where I was like, Teo, what are you doing, bro? Because I forget who had the ball. Someone was fouled in the box and went down, and the ball landed right at Teo's feet, maybe 6 yards out. And instead of just like running and shooting, he like threw his hands up calling for the penalty, which we didn't get. And I'm like, I get it, but you don't do that. You know, just take the shot. And if they want to call back the play for the penalty, then they'll do it. But take the shot if you got it. And he didn't. So that was frustrating. But a lot of his poor decisions were honestly going to Liao, who just did not look like he even wanted to be a football player anymore. Like, he was walking, literally walking. There's clips all over Twitter, just walking. And I don't even know if he was intentionally doing dummies or he just wasn't trying to receive the ball, but like they would just go past him and he'd just turn and watch it. And so I don't know what his deal is. It was frustrating. Maybe he wants to move out or something, but he's not going about whatever it is the right way.
I've mentioned Liao before, but it also is fair to bring up if Teo doesn't want to approach a friendly game with the right mentality as well, it's fair to sort of critique him as well. He's not exempt from it, despite how great of a player he is. And I know how good he is in the regular season, but you also need to approach, you know, a game and a friendly with the right mentality. I'm just kind of worried that, like, he's a very young and confident player, Teo. He knows he's amazing. I just hope that hype doesn't kind of get to his head. And he feels like in the regular season, there's going to be games like that where he feels like he's just not going to give 100% all the time, where he just, I don't know. And then maybe players like Liao are a bad example to play on the same flank as him because he's not going to give 100%. But that's a little thing that came off my mind, but nothing really like of concern. Romagnoli, fantastic. He looks really good. He's almost as if he's our captain. He's coming to the preseason with a captain mentality. Looks fitter than ever, I have to say. The fittest he's probably looked since the Mihailovic seasons and whatnot. Proper slimmed down. You can tell in his physique. I think you mentioned it before, Ollie, that him next to Tomori looks good because Tomori goes back to his more natural right foot, right centre-back, and Romagnoli stays on his left foot. So it's good to have that option as a rotation. I do believe that I just got this feeling that he is going to renew because there just seems to be no malicious stuff in the background, no rumors, nothing. He's just going under the radar, getting his job done. And I feel like a renewal can be done, you know, even if it's like a 2 or 3 year renewal, just get it done. But it's not like a priority thing at the same time. So I don't know. It's an interesting one. Not like when you compare it to Kessie or so Romagnoli was, you know, looked quite good. Other highlights, I mean, Daniel Maldini. I keep saying Daniele because I think
he's Daniele. Yeah.
Daniel Maldini. He looked, I don't know if you're going to come on to him, but he looked, you know, good when he came on. And we're seeing like progressions from him from season to season of the player that he might become. And I'm mostly intrigued of how good he does defensively. When it comes to like, say, if we lose the ball and how good he is at the high press, winning the ball back and then creating chances from that press. We know how good that is for us in the regular season. A lot of our goals come from that, especially, you know, opponents giving away penalties and stuff. So he's very good at winning the ball back on a high press. And then obviously he has great technique. So he just really needs to find his feet in what position he lands in. And I don't know. It'd be an interesting one. And he's obviously still only 19 years old. So he's one to look out for.
He's going to start falling further back in the lineup. You know, I don't think he's an attacking mid. Like you said, his defense, it's great. The way he wins the ball back. I mean, there was a part in the last game where they threw a cross in over the box and he got there like out of nowhere, just jumped in and kicked the ball back. And then we were on a counter. It was perfect. I mean,
a left mid. Like, I mean, I'm not saying he's a winger, but could you be like an inverted left mid, like kind of like Salamaker?
Yeah.
To me,
he's kind of like
I can I see think that.
People
I was
say
like
that
a
he should be a box to box. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. I think he's not going to like more like a Milinkovic Savic type where, you know, he's getting forward, but he's also falling back and he's just kind of anchored there. So I don't know. It's interesting. I think he's obviously, you know, the greatest defender of all time is his father. So he's going to know a thing or two about defense. But I think as he progresses in his career, he's going to be less attack minded.
I like the shouts of him going to a box to box. The only problem being at the moment, we don't play with one and we're having this exact die with Pobega, who probably is 3 years ahead in his development at this stage. It's a tricky one with Daniel Maldini because I don't think he has the physique to drop much further back. I don't think he has the size. You know, he ain't going to bulk up massively. He's not going to turn into the huge unit. Yes, he's 19, so he can grow a little bit more. But with him, I think you see a Brahim Diaz-type mould of player. You know, like the lower centre of gravity, the quick, tricky flicks. He ain't going to barge people off the ball and stuff. But what I do like seeing is the battle in his game and the hustle. And we saw that in that Europa League start that he got against Sparta Prague. I think it was Sparta. Anyway, it was one of the games where he started and he seemed to play a little bit deep, but he's got a knack for winning the ball back that's a bit like Benacer to watch. He just like hustles in, you know, he really gets into tackles. So I don't think the shout of him becoming lost about. There may be situations throughout the season, as reports are saying from pretty much everywhere, where in-game we switch to a 4-3-3 and all of a sudden he's found a spot. Either that or, and this is the dilemma that the management are facing now, is it really now finally the time for him to get a loan spell somewhere? I know we all don't think it's going to happen. One club man, one club family, all that kind of thing. But there will come a time where Paolo thinks to himself, you know, this is my son's career. I need to do what's best for him. So if the opportunity to loan him, say, a Monza, where you know he's going to be protected, you know he's going to get the good opportunities came up, they might think about it. But otherwise, he's learning from some of the best in training. So I don't feel, you know, he's probably got 2 or 3 years until we can start to seriously judge him and say, what's he going to look like as the finished article? But, you know, pre-season minutes like this are always going to help, I guess. I was just going to say on the Tao thing, and Leao, obviously, the players that perhaps aren't putting in 100% shift in pre-season, I do think to myself, we are missing our Mr. Motivator at the moment. You know, Ibra's not back, and I don't think he will settle for any of that shit. If he were to be playing in pre-season, obviously when the regular season comes around, he's hopefully going to be back for that first game of the season. But no, it's not great to see. At the same time, it's hard when the team that you're coming up against is intent on kicking lumps out of you, which I think is what I gather. A few people mentioned basically like blatant refereeing bias. Some of the decisions that he made were really questionable. The penalty wasn't a penalty. We should have had a penalty. A lot of late challenges that didn't get punished. So that's obviously not ideal. But overall, I guess a good run out. I don't think there's too much else to mention, really.
I think like in a normal game, I feel like there would have been a lot more yellow cards going to Nice, and they wouldn't be doing the crap they got away with. They wouldn't be doing that. And they would obviously probably be racking up red cards or yellow cards. So I will say that as well. So it's very hard to sort of like look at a friendly like that where they're going to be very aggressive on us and sort of correlate that to a regular season game where, like you're saying, they're ahead in the, you know, in the fitness schedule than us. And there's also stuff that you, like even the penalty, because there was no VAR, you can't check it. And it's just the referee, if he's biased or not, going to give it and it's going to stick. So yeah, it's very hard to take much away from that. But yeah, sorry, you were saying.
Yeah. No, that was it. I was just going to run through the subs that came on, but I'm happy to hear some people say that Caldara had a pretty good last 20 minutes or so, more so because shop window, you know, there's clubs gathering who are interested. I really don't think he has a future here, and I think he knows
I thought Venice made an offer for him.
Yeah, it sounds like Venezia, I don't know how you would say that. And also Torino now are apparently interested, so... Wouldn't mind sending him to Torino to get Singo coming the other way as the rotating right back.
Well, we're used to trading with Caldara for other centre backs, so wouldn't be too shocked. I'm curious though because Conte came on in the second half as the captain, and I feel like if he's in the shop window, they wouldn't have gave it to him. Is it just because he was the most senior member on the pitch at the time? Like, I feel like there were actual players that could have got it, you know, in a preseason start like that, as opposed to a guy that's, you know, on the way out.
It's because the armband had shrunk and his arm was the only person who was able to get around.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know about it. Yeah, it's a bit of a straight. I don't know. Maybe he was just because I think he's a boyhood Milan fan as well. So probably he's just to give him the armband at that point is sort of hits home. I don't know.
Looking at who else was on the pitch, I don't know who you could honestly pick to be the captain, really. Looking at the way that that team ended up in the second half, it's a tough one. I mean, De Jesus, Rebic, who actually came on at the same time, Caldara,
when
Daniel
did Romagnoli come off?
He came off for Caldara, 70th minute. So it was at the same group of substitutions.
Yeah, because Romagnoli started with the captaincy the whole way up, which makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine.
I guess maybe Tatarasanu, which as the most senior player on the pitch. But yeah, apart from that, it's slim pickings, really. A few people have said, and this is just completely random throwaway remarks, finish the game recap. A few people have said that for Nice, that Khéphren Thuram, holding midfielder, had a really good game for them. A few
people shouting,
because we were linked with him before when we needed a new defensive mid. A few people saying going for him as the fourth choice. And obviously, son of Lilian, footballing family, etc. But I can't say that I saw enough to say yes, go for that. But I just thought I'd mention it.
No, he had a good game. Nothing to say like we need to sign this kid or anything like that. I think Nice has done this. You know, they just signed Kluivert as well, Justin Kluivert. So they're used to just signing big name sons. You know, like who knows? Maybe they'll throw in a bid for Daniel Maldini next. Like I don't know. it's weird. They're looking to build. The young Avengers, you know,
they got Walter Benitez in there as well, obviously son of Rafa Benitez.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah.
No, that's not true. That's bollocks.
Oh, okay. I just rolled it. I can't believe it. Like with the rest of the shit.
Jean-Claire Tadebo's there. Remember when we had that old transfer?
Yeah, they had an option for him on like $4 million or something stupid low.
Yeah, that's fun. How that lines up. Also, they brought Mario Lemina off the bench, and he was a name for a while, wasn't he? So they built something interesting there. All I will say is, like I think you mentioned on Twitter, I saw their shirts and thought, oh my God, it's us from 2012-13 with the red and black stripes and the white collar. It looked just like us.
White shorts, too.
Love the new away kit. I will mention that as well. It looks very good on Giroud. Really does bring out his tattoos. I mentioned a couple of things. I put down on the list a couple of things to talk about. We've kind of talked a little bit about one, but we'll go for it anyway. Rafael Leão and Jens-Petter Hauge. So this is something that we need to sort sooner rather than later. Seems like we're only going to sell one of them. At the moment, it seems like it's going to be Hauge. He was asked to be left out of the friendly against Nice. Nothing official has filtered as to why, but we can presume it's like, you know, he knows he's close to a move, doesn't want to risk injury, probably wasn't going to play meaningful minutes anyway because Pioli hates him. But that's it. It looks like he's going to Eintracht Frankfurt for, I don't know, it might be 10 to 12 million euros. Rafael Leão, as a result, will be taken off the market. We won't be listening to any offers for him. How do we feel about everything there? Like, is selling Hauge the right move? Should Leão be guaranteed of a stay now? You know, are you happy with the fee that we're going to get?
I'm fine with it, to be honest. I really like him. I think he has a future. He's going to become something, maybe not world-class, but he'll become a good player in the future, and I would like it to be at Milan. But what we talked about earlier today, Ollie, you and I think it makes sense. I think these low-cost investments for quick flips, I mean, what did we buy him for? We bought him for
$4 million,
and if we're going to triple that in a year, I mean, how can you say no to that? You can't, especially a club in our financial situation. It's the fastest way to get us back in the green. So I'm all for it, and I think we're going to see that more and more often because that making moves like that is how we can reach that point where we can spend big money on a player without having to consistently qualify for competitions. Because in today's game, like, there's no guarantee we're going to have Champions League next season, let alone the year after and the year after. So if we want to get there, we got to start making these smart investments and flip them. So I'm okay with
it. I've seen the word sacrifice used a lot by the media, and it does feel like that, doesn't it? I don't think it's that. I mean, if you look at the vast majority of comments from the fan base, there's a lot of people who were against the sale of Hauge, not necessarily because he's shown something to suggest that he should be our starting left winger or whatever, but because, you know, we saw signs from him last season. He's young. It was his first season in Italy. Obviously, Leão's had an extra season. Likeable kid. He's kind of had a bit of a dream situation. Only moved in October, remember, because of how late the transfer window went that time. And yeah, people sort of saying that this is a hard one to sell to us. Stefano, how do you feel?
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. I mean, I covered this in a few videos actually I've done for you guys. Said it actually on last week's one that I can see before even the rumours of it going through the weekend was that I could see Howe getting sold and Liao staying because there's not going to be a massive overhaul when our attack this late into the window. I don't think it's also good for us either. Liao gets away with it because, and also this is another one I've said constantly, been sort of berating Liao's mentality, and it's kind of come back at me saying that he's young, all these sort of things. I love Haug's mentality in comparison to Liao's mentality. That's one thing I'll say from the get-go. Problem is that Liao looks just like, generically, like a better player. He just looks more of like a crisper player. Technically, his size, his length, his speed, he's just built very well. And also then, where are these bids for him? So it's sort of like, I reckon it was going to be one of them ones where like the first bid that comes in is going to be the one that tempts us. And Eintracht were obviously probably quite hard to press with it with Haug. And obviously then you look into like, is this Haug ready to go and call it a day for Milan? Yeah, it's not great. But at the same time, I don't want three left wingers when we need another right winger, when we need another attacking midfielder. You have to make these sort of sacrifices to reinvest back into the squad because we spent near enough 60 million euros in the transfer window, probably the highest amount in Serie A, within the top five in, I don't know, the top five leagues. So people can't critique the amount of money being spent by management. It needs to be done. And I know it's horrible. And because we like, as fans, we like to say, oh, if he moves on. And then, I can't wait for Twitter next season to give me Eintracht stats with Haug when he's scoring a couple goals a season. Like, it's bound to happen. But at the same time, environments change and all these sort of things are different. I just feel like, yeah, once again, this is just a business decision. We looked at him when he played against us. We kind of thought, all right, he's 19 years old. He looks really good. We can go to a club like Bodo Glimt and spend, you know, 3-4 million euros, buy him very cheap and flip him on a profit. And you've got to consider it. How many games did he really play last season to get this sort of profit? You know, double and a bit the money we spent on him. He spent, you know, he played the Europa League games and he kind of like didn't even play the knockout games. Bit parts in the league when players were injured, but when really had the first 11 back or even like the first 16 players back, he was out of the squad and he wasn't really getting serious minutes. So for a club like Eintracht Frankfurt to look at him and go like, yeah, no, we'll double your money and then some, it goes to show you how this system works, even if the player's just going to be like part of your squad as opposed to a key part of the starting 11 or even the second string side. So
yeah,
it's a shame because like I said, let me roll it back that I love Haug. I love his mentality. I feel like the kid is, you know, destined for good things. I'm just not sure if it's in this league or wherever it might be. But unfortunately, it's just not with us. So if he does go on, then good luck to him. And hopefully that money is spent in other departments and gets us closer to being a more rounded squad.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, you know, you look at Liao, you look at how much he cost us, you look at the number of performances or number of appearances he had in his performances, you could argue his value may have gone down, you know, so the offers we get like that, we might break even, we might make a little bit of profit, but selling him over Haug when you could get triple your money versus, you know, maybe plus one or whatever it would be, it just doesn't make any sense. So you got to bet on Liao and sell Haug. So anyway, especially if we are spending so much already, like we got to balance the books out.
With Liao, I'll round up quickly before I go back to you. Liao, I feel like this is his last season. I'm sorry, but this has got to be the season where he shows us something more, like show us something, like because he's not a centre forward and he's not an attacking midfielder. So, all right, so we're going to facilitate you to be a left winger. Then master that position, like do the best that you can in that position. Do more than just beat a man. You need to show a lot more, like, show that you can do some stuff in between the lines, connect a bit more with the attacking midfielder or the centre mids. Don't just like sort of float in and out of games. He has to do a lot more. And I'm kind of getting fed up with the fact that he's just young. He's had, you know, this will be his third season, I think now.
Yeah.
Third season now. He's very, you know, that's enough to be accustomed to the league. So let's just see it. And I'm hoping the Champions League gets the best out of him. There's usually in Champions League, there's a lot more opportunities for like kind of high presses to him to expose teams of his pace. So he might be a player that's made for the Champions League a bit more than he is for Serie A, and maybe Rebic can sort of play those games instead, but I don't know. He's on the clock, basically.
He certainly is. If it were up to me, if it were my decision, I'd be taking the money back on Liao and keeping Hauger around a little bit. Yes, his value is in 12 million for four. That's all great. But I think it has the potential to go up even further. And, you know, with Liao, the one thing I will say is you can make excuses about youth for ability, saying he's going to refine that particular part of his game, but you can't make the youth excuse for mentality, for attitude. You know, that should be there no matter how old you are. In fact, if anything, the younger you are, the hungrier you should be. I don't want it to sound like some generic dig about, oh, he's lazy, blah, blah, blah. But I think people are cottoning on to it more and more now that his tendency to drift in and out of games is not good enough for a 28 million euro player. As for Hauge, I think it's important to look at it objectively and to say, we seem to have landed as a club in this intermediary kind of project. Me and AJ talked about it earlier, where we are signing young players with high potential with the hope of developing them either into our future core, or if they're not quite up to that standard, then we will sell them on for a profit. Essentially, their asset worth isn't going to depreciate. It's only going to go up. And that's what Hauge's perhaps the perfect symbol of that. You know, we signed him for a few million. We saw the potential in him. He has developed in that 1 year. You know, he will have learned a lot from playing in Italy over playing in Norway, no disrespect to the Norwegian league. And his value's tripled. And now a Bundesliga team. Bundesliga sides tend to be really good at spotting talent. You know, we've seen RB Leipzig hoovering up talent. Eintracht Frankfurt have a pretty good eye themselves when you think about Jovic, Haller, some of the players that have left there for big sums. And I think that the Bundesliga is a better league for young players, particularly young forwards, to thrive. So this for Eintracht, they'll probably be looking at this as a low-risk investment. You know, 12 million is not an awful lot of money when they've received 40 million for, you know, several players, 60 million for Jovic. And so they'll bank on him. And I think we need to be, as a fan base, for Hauge to go there and be a massive success. I really hope he is, because I think it'll be better suited to him. They'll give him the minutes that he needs to develop. He's playing in a league where I think he's going to have a bit more fun. You know, he's not going to come up against a closed defence every single week. And I really, really genuinely wish him the very best. On a non-objective note, you know, when putting emotion into it, it's quite disheartening, really. It's one of those things where I think if you rewind to when he joined and there was a lot of hype about it, he scored that screamer at San Siro, he completed his dream move. He was sort of the kid, you know, this is what we all wanted growing up. We wanted to get the chance to move to a top club because you've done it on it's storybooks. What do I mean? Comic book stuff, you know? And then there was the picture of him like learning Italian on the flight home and stuff. And you start, this kid's going to... And then he scored a couple of winners in the Europa League group stages. Was actually our top scorer in the Europa League group stages. I came off the bench against Sampdoria for his big redemption moment and earned us a point. That would end up being his last kick of a ball for us all season, which is a baffling one to me, that he didn't use him at all after that in the final four games. But with that kick, you can argue that, you know, that was the point that led us into finishing in the top four. Yeah, there were other goals, obviously. But and yeah, here it is. That's it. The dream dies after less than a year, you know. His Milan career is going to be over. And now he goes to Germany. And as I say, I genuinely wish him the very best of luck. I speak to his dad fairly regularly. I had to get that in there. And I really hope that he does incredibly well. And now the pressure's on the management. You've done something that's quite divisive. So you need something to get us back on side now, which I know is quite fickle, but that's the nature of football fans. It's not what have you done all, it's what have you done me lately. And people are starting to get a little bit antsy about the playmaker situation, about not bringing in a right winger and maybe a third striker, fourth defensive midfielder, backup right back. There are still obvious holes in the squad that need addressing. This may free up some liquidity for us to go out and spend a little bit now. It's not necessarily like 12 million's going to buy us 3-4 players. It's more just it releases the pressure valve a little bit with regards to financial fair play. And yeah, to bring it all full circle, that's our strategy now, really. Low cost, low risk investments that are hopefully going to increase in value, and that makes our financial health as a club look a lot better. Probably artificially so, because it isn't necessarily that our revenues have massively hiked. It's more so a cheat code to make it look like we're doing more sustainable and virtuous things on the transfer market. So, yeah, that's it. If this is the last time we mention Jens, then good luck to you, pal. Any more? So there's not even any signings that we're really close to. I was going to try and recap the Caio Jorge situation, but I don't think I'm going to bother. I'm just going to say that we were led. The media ran rings around us saying that we've made a bid, we've agreed personal terms, blah blah blah. And then Fabrizio literally 10 minutes ago just gave the here we go. He's going to Juve. I ain't gutted. I'm not particularly gutted. I can't pretend that I knew him a month ago. But now that begs an interesting question. Are we going to move on to a different profile for the third striker? There was a guy called Colo... Oh, I've forgotten his name. A guy from FC Nantes who was linked. A guy from Toulouse who's been linked. Seems like we're going for that young, you know, 18, 19, 20, 20, whatever, how old, Mulgrew, alongside Ibrahimovic and Giroud. And... yeah, I guess my name's going to come out on that front. But apart from that, there isn't an awful lot transfer news-wise. It feels like August is going to be the month of opportunity that keeps getting talked about, where clubs try and offload players to free up wages, to free up, obviously, funds for them to go out and get targets that they need. So I think there might be a bit of movement. I think, for example, Man United probably cave in on Dalot and end up giving him back to us. I think we maybe get a cheap deal done for Bakayoko, and that's the fourth midfielder slot sorted. But it's definitely the number 10 that people are most bothered about. Oh, and then Ilicic, who may or may not be permanently joining. sounds like we're trying to bide our time with that one a little bit and get him on a very cheap deal. I've been vocal on Twitter about how I really didn't want us to sign Ilicic because his last half season at Atalanta is just a huge red flag. Like, you know, he fell out with the coach. I think he was battling some stuff off the field as well, which doesn't help, but it clearly impacted his game. He actually got subbed on and subbed off, I think, in one of the games, which is never a good sign. But he does know Serie A well. He's 33, which is a bit of a downside. We've just talked about buying young players and stuff. But I don't hate this if he's to replace Castillejo.
Yeah, it's a great move. I think all of your worries are kind of unfounded, to be honest with you. Like, the off-the-field stuff is true, but it's over, so I don't think that's an issue anymore. Arguing with Gasperini, if anything, that's a plus. Like, if you get along with that guy, you're probably a piece of shit human. So I'm all for it. I think that's great. And 33, we just signed Giroud at 35, and he scored a goal in 3 minutes, so we're all happy about it. So I don't think 33 is an issue. I think... if we want to look at what our objective is, are we realistically winning any trophies next season? Probably not. But are we going to be trying to compete for those? Or, I mean, are we building something else? Like, I think that's where we got to weigh in this youth versus experience project. And what is our end goal? Are we just trying to get these opportunities like that? Like, if he's forcing a move at 33, we'll get him for $3 million, you know, on the last day of the window, something like that. And that's great. I don't think we need to worry about a backup striker or a third string striker. You could argue injuries or whatever, but we were without striker for a lot of last season, and we did just fine with throwing in Rebic and Leon rotating. I mean, maybe you could argue
they were shit, struggled. Though. They were rubbish up front. Like, we can't be left
and
in
yet
that
we
situation
still scored multiple
again.
Goals every game. I'm just saying, like, it's not the most necessary thing to have right now. When if we're looking at this season as, okay, now we need to just qualify again, and then next season we're magically going to be healthy enough with all these money moves we're making, and we could actually get a real player because we know Zlatan's not going to play until he's 44. He's going to probably be done after this season. I think we should look into a real striker at that point, because we can't rely on next season, if we do have Champions League a second year in a row, on a 36-year-old Giroud and no one else. You know, that's when we go for a big player. So to get a teenager now does nothing for anyone, you know, unless we're going to flip them again and then sign a real player afterwards. I don't know. But yeah, I think we should focus on the right wing and the attacking midfielder position. I don't think a striker is necessary.
I wouldn't hate necessarily get it. We got linked with by a couple of journalists, Alexander Sorloff, and I'm not saying that he's like the guy, but I don't hate the idea of bringing in a third striker on loan. My problem is this. I know what you're saying. There are other areas that need prioritising. I totally agree with that. But Zlatan's 39, will turn 40 next season. Giroud, 35. Giroud definitely gives more physical guarantees than what Mandzukic could. However, if one of those gets injured, no longer has a striker on the bench. That can't happen. You know, we can't have, let's say Ibra goes down, which is probably going to happen. We've got Giroud starting then twice a week because we're playing two games a week. And nobody that we can throw on in the 70th minute, unless you're going to throw Liao on, unless you're going to put Rebic up front. I don't really like that. Seen some people say, why don't we just keep Colombo around? Well, we haven't. We've loaned him to Spal. He scored twice on his debut for them. I hope he does well there, just as an aside. But that's where I'm like, maybe we just, if we can get something last minute, be it a loan, be it a cheap deal, maybe just that bit of cover would serve as well, because we're going to be playing 50 games next season. Two strikers over the age of 35. Chance of us not having one on the bench when one of them inevitably gets injured. I don't like it. Like, I would be worried about that.
For a young striker, like an 18, 19-year-old, I don't want it to be a permanent deal. I'd like it to be a dry loan. And the selling point for us is, look, they're not going to play a whole lot, but they're going to be learning under two of the best strikers of the generation. Like, that's your development fee right there. We just need another body just in case.
Yeah. Jovic, I mean, Jovic is apparently available. I know people don't like him, like they're not sold on him. I don't think he'd be an amazing fit for Syria, but just as an example of an opportunity that we could seize. The Soloth thing was interesting because the season before last, he banged in 28 goals, I think, for Trabzonspor. I know it's the Turkish league, but he's 25. And then he moved to Leipzig, and now Leipzig have just signed Andre Silva, and they signed Brian Bobby from Ajax. So all of a sudden he's now third choice and they're looking to loan him out. And I'm just thinking something like that, where we can get in another target man, I would be okay with. But I totally understand those people who were saying that there are other things that we need to focus on, because we absolutely do. We need another playmaker. We need another. But there's nothing really solid in terms of links. I mean, the Ziyech thing keeps popping up. I'm really hoping we get something done there. But the downside to that is if we do, it's probably going to be the last couple of days of August.
Ziyech had a howler today in his friendly against Arsenal.
Bad miss, or?
Yeah, so Pulisic threw a great long ball over the top. He lands right at Ziyech's feet, and he chips it over the keeper. Lands right at his feet again, wide open on goal, and he doesn't shoot. He waits a little bit. Defender gets in front of him. He shoots, hits the defender, deflects right back to him, shoots it again, straight at the keeper, who's just ran back.
No.
Not the best.
He's doing his agent Ziyech is doing a job for us. He's trying to get his move out. Did you see that Bayern Munich guy, the Joshua Zirkzee, who rounded the keeper and tried to walk it in, and the defender tackled him? That was funny. He was at Parma last season, him as well.
That's what you get. Walking it in is so disrespectful. Just shoot it. I don't care if you're in it.
I remember when Balotelli did that thing when Mancini was Man City boss. Yeah. You know, he did like the and they got subbed off. Yeah.
Awful. I was going to say, like, literally agreeing with you guys on all these sort of like targets and the positions. Colombo wouldn't have been loaned. I had to write this down because there's so many positions around to cover it. Colombo wouldn't have been loaned out if we weren't going to get a third centre forward in. I do feel like that's a move that's going to happen in the last 2 weeks of the window, depending on like the analysis on Ibra's injury. I feel like regardless if that's going to be a young profile or potentially a loan deal for someone like a Jovic, for example, if it's more serious, if Ibra's injury or something like that, you know, the recovery might be another month and a half, then go for a Jovic because we're going to need backup straight away. If it's not so bad, then get a younger striker for like a couple mil, like similar to the Caio Jorge deal that didn't go through, but find someone in France, for example. And quickly going on that Caio move, you know, if he wants to, like, there's no way we're going to take him. He's earning 2 million euros a year at Juventus. Like, to say he's going to be earning more than Teo Hernandez and Benacer, that's ridiculous. Like, they can have him, they can have their inflated salary structure. That's fine. He's probably never going to play for him anyway. So, whatever on that one.
He'll be well low in 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
He's not going to get
in like some dodgy swap deal.
Yeah.
100%.
To cover the rest of the Locatelli fee that they're probably going to have to require to spend. I think Ziyech is going to potentially come. I've kind of got a strong feeling on that one. I don't know why. Ilicic, I like it. I'm going to stick with AJ on this one. I like the move because it kind of smells like a Cassano-like signing. Someone who was, you know, sort of given up on. I'm not saying he was given up on. You've got to think half a year is not much, really. You know, he signed Çalhanoğlu when he didn't play a game of football for half a year. You know, Ilicic is still training. He's still, you know, probably as fit as ever, but he just needs to be kicking the ball a bit more frequently. And he's someone who knows the league. You know, he's a good player, and he can play in the sort of attacking midfield position. I'd like to see him a bit more there. if we can play him at right wing, I don't get it. Maybe someone has to explain to me why people constitute him as a right winger. I don't think he's a winger, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't get that either. Especially with his age now, like he's losing a bit of his pace, so just stick him in the number 10 role.
As if he's going to track back like Salamakers. I just can't see it. Like,
but then again, under Gasperini, he was the one player who was constantly singled out for not quite making enough effort, and that makes me think: is he really going to be good for us? But
he's probably the only player not on steroids.
Probably, yeah. If you look at his size, maybe in games where we're chasing it, like against the bottom 10 side, they've got a sneaky goal against us, and we want to put a bit more attacking impetus, and we don't really care about defending. Helping Calabria out in the defence, for example, then you stick on Ilicic at right winger to, keep players like Brahim in centre attack and mid and, just like hound down the other side. And he's quite good for that. But I like Ilicic. I do agree. I think Dalot's coming back on a renewed loan deal because we're just going to sneak it because Man United are going to want to get rid of him. And
they also might be signing Trippier as well, by the way. So.
Oh, really? Oh, well. Yeah. Well, they got Wan-Bissaka and Trippier, then they're going to get rid of Dalot. Which I'll be happy to see him come in. But I think the next 2 weeks, maybe the next week and a half, we're going to be seeing hopefully some player sales. We talk about Haug, hopefully shipping out Caldara, Conti, hopefully, fingers crossed, with Samuel, can get the hell out of here and go to Spain. And then that's going to be the domino effect of the market. And then we'll see in the last 2 weeks. But yeah, I know people like to see moves happen sooner and the squad, ready by the start of the season, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And we've mentioned it previous times in the podcast that, it's not, still a month is a long time to go. Heck, if you talk about when Galliani was running things, you give him 5 days and he'll get someone in. You'll get, three players in. A month is a hell of a long time. And Maldini's out there partying Ibiza and we know what that means. So.
Oh, he's talking to Messi, 100%. Apparently, Messi's on holiday in Ibiza and people were laughing. No idea who he's meeting.
To Barca's training camp today because he's a free agent still. So he's like, I don't need to work. I mean,
that's so funny to me. But he's just not asked. Yeah.
He's like, I'm wherever. I don't need to show up for this.
We'll get that deal signed and then I'll start showing up again. On the market, I know I use this analogy so many times, but when you're building a jigsaw, you cannot put all the pieces in at once. But as long as it makes a good picture, then you don't really care. And sometimes the last piece can be the most satisfying to put in. So let's hope that that's the case for our market. Right, I'm going to ping through some questions. Andrew Bauer asked 4 pretty interesting questions. I'll pick a couple of them out. Would you be concerned about Milan's defense next season if Tomori's not in the lineup for some reason?
You cut out on me.
Would you be concerned about Milan's defense if Tomori was not in the lineup for some reason?
No, I think I saw enough from Romagnoli to think he's going to do a part, be it off the bench or starting. And if Caldara stays, which doesn't sound like it is, but I think he looked, fit enough. Kabia has been in every preseason game, be it right back or center back. So I think we got enough depth to where if we have an issue, it'll be hopefully short-lived, but I'm not too worried. Plus, Mignon did a great job. We didn't actually touch on him in his debut, but he had a fantastic close save. I was really happy to see his performance. So I'm fine if we have a little injury
I'm just so behind him as well. Some players come to it's a dream to be here, blah, 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 smiling. He is just like the most serious looking bloke, as in I'm good enough to be here. This, I'm going to do great, And I love that. He's got a badass attitude and I just love it. I'm proper. I can't even spell Donnarumma's name anymore. I've forgotten him. He's gone and now we've got our guy.
Yeah. Just to keep building on that, you look at him and you don't get this, I have big shoes to fill aura. You get this aura of you got some new shoes now. These are my shoes, and I'm about it. I was watching that friendly and I was thinking, I might buy Giroud on the away kit and I might get Maignan on a goalkeeper shirt. I've never bought one.
Mate, what? Stop it. Just buy. No, the curse thing that shirt printing has for you. Yeah. Just buy Samu, please. He's gone.
I can't. I mean, it depends who we're playing. Tomori's great. Against Gates, players with a bit of speed and whatnot. Let's not kid about it. Kai is still a fantastic centre defender. We saw him in the Euros. Romagnoli looks fitter than ever. Gabbia still has a part to play in our squad. And yeah, like Mignon, he was fantastic from what I saw in the first, well, the highlights of what I saw in the first half. I was going to say as well, he's not afraid to shout at his defenders. But I think like Tonali lost the ball, they had an opportunity, he was screaming at Tonali. And you've got to think, he's only known him for about a week. Romagnoli with his tackle, like on the counter attack, Romagnoli got the tackle in, and he sort of like chested him. He was like,
it almost knocked him over.
Bless him. He's lost a bit too much weight, Romagnoli. But like, you know, he's proper like getting himself involved in the squad, and that's really good to see. You can see he just doesn't really care about the shoes he has to fill. And he's serious, you know. And well, we want that. We don't care about someone who's gonna be quaking in his boots about the player he just took the position over. But I like what I see. But yeah, anyway, our defense is fine. It's probably the best position of our whole team, most solid position. Mm.
Yeah. I was just thinking if we signed Ilicic, we'd have Ilicic, Rebic and Maignan who could potentially fill the they might be serial killers vibe because they're just fucking like, you know, genuinely look like they could have killed someone. To answer that question, I agree. Like, it does depend who we're playing.
Yeah.
I would like to think that we have the depth to be able to cope with that. However, I think the question is more coming at it from a tactical point of view, and we must acknowledge that Tomori is very important to the way that we play now. We've seen since January a higher line. He's more aggressive. He challenges the ball player. And I think that that is very important to us. But, you know, if it were a one or two game situation, you've got to remember Romagnoli and Kier had a fantastic post-lockdown run where they were, you know, but our defence kept 5 clean sheets to end the season. So Romagnoli started in one of those. I think it was the fifth last game. So got to hope that defensive depth is fine to be able to cope with that. Mm. Andrew, again, if you were to judge Liao's skills and attributes, excluding his speed, what would you say? So I'll start with this one. I think his speed is his main weapon. And without it, he's not actually a great footballer. But then it's like saying, well, if you take away Messi's dribbling, or if you, you know, speed is you either have it or you don't. And he is rapid when he gets going in isolation with the defender. His dribbling is good when he's got open space, but I think sometimes his technique in crowded spaces against closed defences, blah, 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 leaves a lot to be desired. My hope with Liao, since we're going to keep him now, is that he just refines himself to the extent where he can be consistent over a full season. We've seen him in the first half of last season do fantastically, and he sort of had his explosion in that first season as well when he scored that amazing solo goal against Fiorentina, and we were like, oh my god, what have we got here? I just want to see consistency throughout the season, and if that means that, you know, he gets 8 to 10 goals, 8 to 10 assists, whatever, and he's chipping in, you know, consistently, then I'd be okay with that, because we know that Rebic offers something that bit different. He's a very, very hard worker, very important tactically to the balance of the side. He has that chemistry with Teo. They might be a pretty complementary pair of options on the left.
Yeah, I'm going to cop out and just say I agree.
Solid.
Yeah.
I mean, I like his... I think he's got a sweet finish on him, I have to say. He is... It's a shame he's not more competent in attack, and he's like, he's kind of scared of getting involved with like centre defenders, because he's got a great shot on him. He's got a clean shot, Liao. Whether it's, you know, the inside of his foot, those sort of top right angles, or if he can sort of hit it clean from like a, you know, dangerous, powerful shot, he's got a good shot on him. Like, I just think like you kind of want to see him get involved in more positions where he can have those chances. Like if he could attack the opposition right back and then cut in and sort of kind of like what Aubameyang does, and he go in for those top right shots of the goal, but he just doesn't get into those opportunities. That's him. That's what he's lacking. But I'll say that's probably his best attribute. That and, I mean, it's speed, isn't it, I guess. But
And smiling. Smiling.
Smiling, yeah. He's good. He's actually surprisingly good in the air as well. Like, he's
he not is, bad yeah.
from headers. But he
yeah.
just needs...
He will never score many headers.
That, yeah, I was going to say, he's not someone that if the cross comes in, he's not going to be like back post, you know, like the Giroud goal. But he's someone that, like, if you've got a goal kick and you want him to knock it down,
I agree with that. And one thing that I really want him to improve on, as you touched on there, is just his movement. Like, he needs to know the places to be in to do the things that he's most dangerous at. And I hope it comes. I think it will. You know, it's a better pre-season to be able to prepare. He's not been away anywhere. So, And I will ask this question now from Ahmed, because it's kind of linked. While Leao failed as a lone striker, do you think there's a possibility of playing him as a second striker? Now, when Ibra first joined, we actually paired them two up front together, and it looked really good. That was when we were struggling to score goals, but Leao and Ibra together looked like they complemented each other well. I'll start with something that's addressed to everybody who's saying that Ibra and Giroud should start together. Shut up. Like, that's one of the daftest things I've ever heard. Let's just, you know, what do you want? Do you want us to play 4-4-2 and just get the ball wide and cross it in? We are not Barnsley. Like, we are not Oldham Athletic. That's not how we're going to play football.
Milan of, 2004.
Mike Bassett's Milan. But what I would like to see, if we do try that 4-2-2-2, like, formation, or we go with anything that's two-strike formation, Ibra Leao, I think... it looks good, or Giroud Leao, or even Ibra Rebic, Giroud Rebic, you know, target man, and perhaps somebody who's more capable of running in behind for those flick-ons and for being there for more direct stuff. I think that would work better than Ibra and Giroud up front, who will both be occupying the number 10 position because they drop in too much. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with that as well. That's what I said at the beginning of Ibra's first season. I was like, oh, Leao's going to be second striker. Like, we got that problem solved, and it looked great. And then all of a sudden, we just kind of stopped using it. And there's never really an explanation as to why. I don't know. I think Leao looked best as a second striker as opposed to a left winger or a lone striker. So, I would see it again. And yes to what you said about Zlatan and Giroud, the exact same player, you can't do it.
No. Yeah, definitely agree with that. Zlatan and Giroud, absolute nonsense if that was the case. You know, even just talk about the injuries before. Imagine you playing them all the time as a starting two centre forwards, and who do we have coming off the bench? You don't, anyway. But
If we do that, then sign two more strikers.
Exactly. But Leao, we don't play a formation that acclimatizes him to play supporting striker role, but then that's then just purely think of alternatives to get the best out of certain players. So let's say if we sign a player like Ilicic, I wouldn't be like, imagine like a 4-3-2-1 formation similar to how Milan fielded in the 2007 Champions League final. You have the two Seydorf and Kaká behind the center forward, so you play the center forward, then you'd have Ilicic and Leao behind the center forward, and then I wouldn't mind seeing a midfield three of, you know, Kessié, Bennacer and Tonali, or even throw Pobega in there. Like, that would still keep the midfield strong. And then also you've got the bombing wing-backs going up there. Then you have the centre mids to kind of give defensive cover. But like, that's the only situation I can see Leao getting into that position. But we know it's his best, probably his best position he could play in, because we've seen it before. But unfortunately, we don't have a formation that acclimatizes that. So, it is what it is.
Interestingly, people have pointed this out before. When we're in possession, we tend to switch to a 3-4-1-2 of sorts, we did anyway when we had Hakan, because obviously you've got Teo pushing up and you've got the double pivot. But second half of both the seasons he's been here, when Rebic has been on a tear, you know, he struggled in the first half of both seasons, and then from then on he's ended up scoring 11 goals. But he gets those goals because he gets in positions like a second striker would. People have pointed out in the past, you know, tactical analysis and that kind of thing, that he plays more off the shoulder of Ibra than anything else. And I think he's best doing that. And then you've got Salamakers, who very much stays wide, drifts in occasionally, but just doesn't occupy the same position. So it works quite well. We'll see. So Andrew asked, basically, it's almost out of date already because Hauger's gone, but he said, what do you think about offering Leao, Hauger and money to Fiorentina in exchange for Vlahovic? Now, take the speculation out of that and just say that the rumours about Vlahovic have resurfaced in the last couple of days because he may or may not sign a contract extension. His deal runs out in 2023. Fiorentina, we know what they're like as a club. You know, there'll probably come a time when they outgrow them. They're going to try and protect themselves with a release clause or something. But just interesting, because AJ mentioned earlier about putting off the pursuit of a new striker. We're going to need to replace Zlatan probably next summer. I think he's going to retire at the end of this season. Some saying that he wants to make the 2022 World Cup, which would probably mean him playing an extra season after that. But I just don't see it, not after the knee injury and stuff. We'll see. But ultimately, we do need a long-term, this is our number nine guy. Vlahovic, we'll see next summer, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if we were to make that move happen like this summer somehow, which I don't foresee, if we make that move happen this summer, then I'm happy with it. You know, that's our future there. That's not just like a young player to just add a body to the roster. That's an actual player for the future. So that would be great, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think it might be another season or so.
Be hilarious if we brought Vlahovic in for 50 mil to be a third striker.
Yeah, exactly.
The poor guy. I mean,
also, I'm a bit sort of, with spending that much money for a centre forward, I just get sort of PTSD from Piontek. Like, so I can't like, I want to see another season with him at Fiorentina. Hopefully he can be an absolute, you know, bastard and not, you know, renew his contract, take it to another year left on his deal. And then it gives us more advantageous positions to then sign him next summer when we know what he's like. He's got two seasons under his belt in Serie A. We know he's like prolific. I just don't want to bank it on what was one season where we've seen it before. And yeah, like I said, we just signed Giroud. He looks okay. I don't feel like we need another player in that sort of caliber. We just need someone in a bit more of an understudy position. But
didn't he just score like seven goals in a friendly the other day? Something stupid.
Yeah, but against
a made up club.
It was against against a radio station or something. I was playing like radio something. I'm like, oh my god, they just dragged a load of like interns out of the office to play against one of the best number nines in the league. Poor guy, bullying him.
LBC with Nick Ferrari and go or something.
Yeah. That would be really funny. So we'll end with two questions from Jake. Jake always sends in some crackers, as good everyone lad. Does. No favouritism here. Should Kalulu be loaned out? So that's point number one. We've talked about this in our group chat quite a bit. I feel a bit for Kalulu and Gabia, because we're all hoping that they don't play much next season, which sounds kind of awkward. That would mean that we're in an injury crisis. However, Gabby is 22, Kalulu's 20 or 21. They're in a position now where they're entering a crucial phase in their development. And as a centre-back, the best way to develop is obviously to play minutes. You get your positional awareness that way. You know, it's different to training in terms of the intensity, battling against proper shithouse centre-forwards like Mattia Destro and stuff week in, week out. So I'm going to say yes, I would loan Kalulu out, but that's provided we sign a backup right-back. If we don't, for whatever reason, you know, if whatever falls through, I think he's a good fifth centre-back / backup right-back choice to have. I would include a recall clause in it, just to protect us. So let's say everything goes to shit, we can just say, sorry, we need him back.
Like, lacks out, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we could do that. I think you can do that with a loan, right? Isn't the whole point? Like, yo, hold on to him until we want him back.
No, some loans don't have recall clauses, which I think is daft, because you're doing the other club a favour, really, by lending them. And it's like, sorry, things have changed. Or you just have to pay a penalty sometimes. You have to pay a fee for terminating it early.
I'm okay with it. I think you're right. He needs to develop, and yeah, if we get like Ballo back or something like that, then he's probably not going to play too much. So, and if Gabi has been playing as a right back all preseason, I don't know if that's just because we didn't have anyone to do it or not, or if that's like some tactical switch that they're making, then there's not really a spot for all these guys on the roster, you know. So, he's okay with the loan.
Yeah, the Gabia thing was just purely because Calabria has been injured. Kalulu's at the Olympics. Yeah. We've actually loaned Ricardo Audi out somewhere as well. So we just didn't have a right back. But he did an all right job there, to be fair.
We've had Conte, but we know what Conte's like, isn't it?
Yeah.
he's not fit, like, is he? Like,
I mean, I was going to say, he's actually not someone I kind of feel like, with the whole amount of players we have at certain positions, Conte. In this strange way, I wouldn't be surprised if he stays next year if we don't get Dalot and we loan out Kalulu. And I don't know, but I don't really want that. That's a crap idea. But yeah, I wouldn't mind Kalulu getting loaned out, because he clearly is lacking sort of first team experience. We saw that at the Olympics with, you know, youngster mistakes, but it is what it is. Yeah, and yeah, just get him out alone, really. Just get him some experience. Mm. Was there anyone else you said? I remember.
No, that's it. The Kalulu thing's interesting as well because we signed him at the age of 20 when he'd never played a senior game for Lyon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of mad at the age of 20. Yeah. You know, normally
he's,
if you're
he
worth
good.
He has, exactly. But he's still stuck on a handful of senior games in his career. And that needs to change. And at the moment, it ain't going to change. So something.
I mean, technically, he's a one club man right now. If we want to just never let him go, you know, he could be a legend. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. him and Daniel Maldini for the next 15 years. Brilliant. Last question. We kind of talked about it, to be fair, but. Oh, no, we didn't talk about it at all. I want to mention this because it's apparently close to happening. Christian Espinoza says, we're linked with Chaka Traore from Parma. Do you rate him? Looks like an exciting prospect. Now, as a disclaimer to this, I think he's played once in Serie A. He made his debut against us. He plays as a left winger.
Three times.
Has he played three times? Well,
but
there
like
you go.
A combined 16 minutes of football, so...
There you go. So, yeah, do we know anything about him? No, we don't. However, he must be pretty highly rated to make his debut at 16. He would be... The reason that I mention it is, as a broader point, we seem to be targeting a lot of these teenage players to come in and bolster the Primavera. And I think I've... Well, it's not, you know, it's not brain surgery or anything, but I think... It's purely because the Primavera are going to be in the UEFA Youth League next season. So all of a sudden, we've gone from just playing shitty Primavera First Division football to all of a sudden, we're going to be competing against the best academies in Europe now. So I think that they've realised, oh no, the batch of players that we've got at the moment are not good enough. Like, they're a mid-table team in the Primavera, and that shouldn't be the case for a club like us with the legends we've produced and stuff. But you've got the likes of Pierre Duomo, who might be coming from Genk, Warren Bondo from, I think it's Nancy-Lorraine or something in France, and now the link with this guy who's also very highly rated. I think we're committing to it. I think we're saying, look, the academy's needed an overhaul for some time now. The best thing we can do is make ourselves serious in the short term, and then we're more attractive for other top talent. So I'm fully behind it because these are low-cost investments as well. We're talking a few hundred thousand. So, yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's a quick flip strategy again. So if they come around, they might impress them, might not. We either sell them for profit or they just go away.
Or they become amazing, you know?
Ooh.
Sometimes it happens that way.
Yeah. I mean, by YouTube sources, he's been dubbed the next Neymar.
I love them ones, me. I saw the Caio Jorge one that said the next Shevchenko, and I'm like, they're not even remotely similar players at all.
Yeah,
like they couldn't be more different.
It's quite funny when you look on YouTube. But like, I mean, there's not much to judge this kid off. He's 16 years old, you know. I can't remember what I was doing when I was 16 years old playing Call of Duty, Modern Warfare or something like that. But like, I mean, he looks, you know, intrigued. Like, the end of the day, he's
hey, that's me at 28 still. I did that yesterday for like 6 hours.
He's played in Serie A, and that's fantastic for a kid of his age. Obviously, Parma was absolutely dreadful last year, so they kind of thought, why not, and played him towards the end of the season. You know, it's a good player to get in, and like I said, I admire the strategy that we're doing. €1 million, if that's the case for the deal. You know, it's another sort of quick flip, because you never know, by the time he's 21 years old, then we might get a bid for €10 million for him or something like that. So it's good that we're bolstering the Primavera as well, which has been quite underperforming. So yeah, not bad.
Great. Yeah, I think that's a good place to end it, is it? Yeah. Next week, then, we'll have a couple of games to recap. We've got Valencia Wednesday night at the Mestalla, and then next Sunday night we play against Real Madrid in Austria. So those are two decent tests. Again, we'll be looking for match sharpness to increase and stuff, but that's all good. Just before I sign off, I want to say check our pinned tweet, put it in the description as well. Please vote for us in the Football Content Awards that are coming up back end of this year. We're in the category of Best International Club Content Creator. So you can vote via the ways that are listed in the pinned tweet, either through a tweet, tags on Instagram. There's a few different ways. We really appreciate all of you who've voted so far already. There has been plenty of votes coming. So let's hopefully bring it home. It's coming home. And Thanks to the lads for joining me. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter, Ollie Fisher. It's written there if you're watching on YouTube. Anthony?
Yeah, real quick disclaimer about next week. I don't know. We might change this scheduling, I believe, because at the moment, no one could actually make it next day. So we might record Monday, so look for next week's podcast a day late. But yeah, it's been...
Cool. Signing off, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me again. Twitter handle's there. Well, over here. You usually find me arguing with sites on Twitter. So yeah. To be honest, I want to announce my public announcement of a truce with sites. I love you. Well, I've got love for all Milan fans. So yeah, enjoy reading your tweets all the time. So.
Said through gritted teeth, but yeah, we'll try getting on the podcast.
Let's get this done. We can in the comment section below, and if you do follow Twitter, let's get sites on the podcast because I think it'll be a good laugh.
I saw his reply saying that he'd just get like dominated or something, and I thought, wow, he's not backing himself here either, is he? So,
well, he's been on Twitter long enough, he knows what he tweets.
Yeah, he needs his... No, I'm not gonna say it. that point that AJ said, we will probably be recording on Monday next week. Reason being, we normally record Sunday evenings, and right now, while we're recording, would be half time, I think, in the Real Madrid friendly. So that doesn't make sense for anyone. We might as well record a day later and cover both friendlies. But yeah, apart from that, thank you for listening if you made it this far, and we will catch you in 8 days' time.
Andrea Conti, bella palla per Rebic Ibra, Rebic, 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 il tiro, gol!